has joined.
Good afternoon, Kodesh-to.
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 We will be starting momentarily. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chiminka, Tati, Zerira, Alakad Gimel, Yitzhak Sadi, Gabel Rinat, Amkasad Vainu, Aharenu, Nora, Freshayan, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Gorshehu, Ta, Eva, Vat, Sham, Rain, Mungimogalit, Yutak Shin, Barhim, Taharim, Rachame Sikata Tamid Gamlein Betet Resh Sadi Taf Gimel Kasin Kadosh Ero Tuha Nael Adata Ket Kufet Ket Menayim Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei So pray Kidu Shata Yud Gimalamit Pei Zayim Tu Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatia Katenu Yodea Talumo Kin Kufau Sadi Yata. And the eighth verse of the end of the cloth we do in a whisper. We will now connect to the Ma meditation. Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey. Our class today is a comes from the Sefer Yetzirah. You will find the handout in row 9 of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the second column from the left. It opens up to a landing page of all of the Sefer Yetzirah classes. And when the landing page of the Sefer Yetzirah classes opens up, scroll down to class 10. And the handout is class 10-1. We will start with the Lashem Yehud. And we will be studying Mishnah 1-8. From the Ramak, and 1-9 if you're reading from the Arya Kaplan translation. L'shem yichud kudsha b'rishu ishkin tebit ki l'ur shimu ut ki l'ur ki l'ur shimu. L'yachda l'shem yudhei b'vavhei. L'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. L'imud Torah mitzvah. L'asok Torah mitzvah. V'ayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananeihu. Esther Sefirot Belima Echat Ruach Elohim Chaim Chai Olamim Nachon Kisai Yomei Oz Baruch Hume Baruch Shemo Tamid Leolam Waed. Ruach em dibur, zu ruach hakadosh, leroshito ein chaker, letachlito ein katzpa. Before one can translate this particular verse, one needs to know what, put it in perspective. There are seven verses from this verse until the end of chapter 1. The 10 Sefirot are being described, yet they're not. It's not in the typical manner of discussing the Sefirot. The letters are discussed as well. It is almost as if it is a duplicate or an alternative discussion of the 10 Sefirot. My teacher teaches that this Mishnah, from this Mishnah to the end of chapter 1, is talking specifically about the 10 Sefirot and should be thought of as chapter 1a, as if it is a different than the earlier Mishnayot. Also, the academics typically think of the teachings of the Ten Sefirot as later Kabbalah, typically after the 13 to 1400s of the Common Era. Yet this is the earliest written descriptions of the Ten Sefirot. The typical translation, Ten Sefirot of Nothingness. One is the breath of the living God. Blessed and benedict is the name of the life of worlds, the voice of breath and speech, and this is the holy breath. There are actually missing phrases in this translation. An alternative translation. Ten Sefirot without what? One, the spirit of those living Elohim, life of a world. Correct is his throne from when our song, blessed with blessing is his eternal name forever and ever. That's one translation. Another translation is voice, wind, word. Voice, spirit, speech. And this is the Holy Spirit. To its head can be no investigation. To its end, there is no limitation. Before beginning this class, it is necessary for every student to erase as best as possible the memory of the Tree of Life bliss that you have seen and think that they understand. We'll start with the Keter. But the Keter can never be understood. The Keter can never be intuited. The Keter can only be experienced. Now think of our astrological solar system in a way you have not thought of it before. Think of it as it orbits all of the orbits of the planets being circles, with the largest circle being outside the orbit of Pluto, and each other circle being one of the planets going inward until it reaches the sun. Let me reread that, because I think I skipped a line. Think of the orbits of the planets being circles, with the largest circle being outside of the orbit of Pluto, and each other circle being one of the planets moving inward, going inward, until you reach the sun, which has no circle, only emptiness. The 10 circles are one outside of Pluto's orbit. That's the Keter. Pluto's orbit is Chachma. Uranus's orbit is Bina. Neptune's orbit is Dat. Saturn's orbit is Chesed, but in the older language it's called Gedulah, greatness. Jupiter's orbit is Giborah. The asteroid belt's orbit is Tiferet. The asteroid belt's orbit is Tiferet. Mars's orbit is Netzach. Venus's orbit is Hod. Mercury's orbit is Yesod, and then the sun is Malchut. Now think of a machine standing outside of the Keter orbit, throwing planets like a boy standing on the beach throwing or skipping stones across the water. When the planet or the rock drops into the sun, there is no movement. Yet the ripples continue. The ripples in the water continue getting larger and larger all the way back. Even there's imaginary ripples on the land leading up to your feet. If mixing these two different metaphors is confusing, then think of the boy and the water, and only those are the ripples. The ripples in the water, the rock dropped into this point where the sun was, and that point, there's no ripples. But then there's ripples that move away from that point, and they get bigger and bigger. There was no ripple, then there was a ripple. Then you move out a little bit further back towards yourself, and the water, there is no ripple, and then there is a ripple, but it's larger than the previous ripple. So which is the largest circle and which is the smallest? As the planet or the rock crosses the circles that do not exist yet, those circles are in our consciousness. And what do we call them? They're there, but we can't see them. Is Malchut inside the Keter? Or is Malchut outside of the Keter? Always think of the Sephirot within the Keter. Therefore, the largest ripple is the Keter. The largest ripple is underneath your feet. But imagine the circle. Underneath your feet is the circle of the Keter. But everything in that circle is the Keter, and all of the Sephirot are within the Keter. This is a glyph, a diagram of the Tree of Life that is more clear and more real than the typical Tree of Life glyph of the three columns, as we will come to understand. For me, this image is a more clear Tree of Life than the three columns. But each person will have their own experience, and each experience can be correct. Just be careful that you are not seeing the corrupt system in your experience. And if you have questions about this, you can call me and we will discuss it. Now let's look at the description of Keter from the Sefer Yetzirah. 1. Not the no one or unity, but the female form of one. Echat is the word in Hebrew. The next phrase is Spirit of the Living Elohim, and this is a reference to Chokmah. The life of a world, or the life forever, and this is a reference to Bina. This is one of the most important teachings in Kabbalah, and it is difficult to relate to. Rabbi Ashlag calls it the Gimel Rishonot. The three upper Sefirot are all one. Keter, Chokmah, and Bina are all unified. They each have different names, and so they are different Sephirot, but they're all unified. So when we talk about the Bina, we can be saying whatever we say about the Bina applies to the Keter, and whatever we say about the Keter applies to the Bina. And this is also true of Chokmah. This is the meaning of the Gimel Rishonot. We must realize that Keter is the source of all, and yet not within the all. This is why in the metaphor, the Keter is outside of the boundary of Pluto's orbit. It is the source of all, but not within the all. Keter communicates to Chokmah and Bina as it represents binding by striking. The Zivug de Haka'ah. It represents the balance point between Chokmah and Bina. The Ramban, or Nachmanides, who is a Kabbalist of the 13th century, in his commentary to the Sefer Yetzirah, he explains that there are three lights. In modern terms, they are Keter, Chokmah, and Bina. Keter represents God's will, which receives light from the Or Ein Sof, the light of the endless world. Chokmah receives light from Keter and is our intuitive level. It has no letter and it has no word. And that is why the word Keter relates to something outside of the whole. The crown rests on the head. It does not affect anything, but it affects everything. Bina also receives light from Keter, and this is our logical mind. Bina and Chachma are always in zivug, always in sexual union. Keter cannot be understood, and Keter cannot be intuited. Yet Keter can be experienced. Since Keter has no letters or words, it is capable of sending letters to our intuitive and logical mind in a different order than exists there in the now. Therefore, we can change lead into gold by changing the letters that one brings down from Keter to Chachma or to Bina or both. From lead, which is Oferet, Ayin Vav Pei Resh Ta, that's the Hebrew word for lead, to Zahav, the Hebrew word for gold, Zion He Bet. This same technique is used on Yom Kippur during Nila to change the year ahead, to be exactly what you want it to be. Right now, I'm not going to tell you anymore because I do not know more on the intellectual level. It must be experienced. How do you change the number of letters into letters? How do you change the potential of the letters into the actual of the letters? By experiencing the Keter in your meditations. What are the first three expressions in the Mishnah? Echat, the female form of one, is the Keter. Why is the female form? Why is the word number implied but not said? Ruach Elohim Chaim, the spirit of a living God. Also, it can be translated as the spirit of God lives. This is Chachma. This is wisdom. Kint, why is the name Elohim used? Why is spirit in the singular? There are many other questions that you could ask, and feel free to ask them in your meditations or even now. The word chaye with a sarah vowel, which is two dots next to each other that are pronounced A. Chaye Olamim, the living worlds or worlds of living. This is Bina. You can be asking questions of both Chachma and Bina at this point. The Hebrew word nachon is translated as correct. Yet that is not quite the meaning, the translation that's correct. It can be seen as Noah, which is a Zeranpin, and a fallen one. The word can be parsed. Nachon is Nun Chet Nun. Nun Chet is Zerantin. Hidden wisdom is Noah. But then there's the final hay. The final hay by being the final letter nun, I don't mean final hay, I mean final nun. But being a final letter nun, it gets translated as the fallen one. Its shorish comes from the words that mean to lead or to guide, as well as another possible shorish that means to state or express. Does the Gimel Rishonot lead or guide? Remember, Noah has the letters that are the first letters of my name and imply the hidden wisdom. Some teachings in Kabbalah imply that the throne represents Bina. Me'oz has the numerical value of 8, which is usually is thought of as Bina. The modern philosopher Descartes says, I think, therefore I am. Is this true or is it false? I exist without thinking. Do I have to think to exist? Thinking is unconscious. Do you use logic when you are thinking? If you're not aware of that thinking because it's in the unconscious, are you being logical? I think, therefore I am, relates to all three, Keter, the Chachma, and the Bina. Now look at the other descriptions of Keter. How do they relate to your limited understanding and to your intuition? Nachum is correct, yet we discussed above some different ideas. Correct is his throne from when we sing. Which word is Keter? Which concept is Keter? Which is Chachma? Which is Bina? Blessed with blessing is his eternal name forever and ever. Which word or concept is Keter? Which is Chachma? Which is Bina? Voice, wind, word. Another translation. It's voice, spirit, speech. Which word or concept is Keter? Which is Chachma? Which is Bina? This is the Holy Spirit. Which word or concept is Keter? Which is Chachma? Which is Bina? To its head can be no investigation. To its end, there is no limitation. Which word is connecting to Keter? Which to Chachma? Which to Bina? Or is this referring to the 10 Sephirot within the 10 Sephirot? Why do I have to relate to Chachma and Bina to relate to Keter? A very short astrology section. Astrological chart. Astrological reader. Astrological reading. Which word or concept is Keter? Which is Chachma? Which is Bina? Your homework for this class, which we will begin in the class now, is a meditation. Please sit comfortably wherever you are. If you wish to use the prophetic position, feel free to get into the prophetic position. In this meditation, you are going to meditate upon the concept of the Keter. Inhale, exhale, breathe in. Breathe out, inhale, breath out, inhale, breathe out, close your eyes, breathe in and out, with your eyes closed, look beyond you. Do you still see the stairwell going down into darkness? Take your first step. Start to climb down the steps. You're looking for the Keter. Have you found the Keter yet? You're still looking. Go to your next step. In the notes. Take another step down. Have you arrived at the Keter? Another step. Another question. Another step. Another question. When you finally reach that bottom step, you have found the Keter. Invite the Keter into your meditation and ask questions of the Keter. What are you, Keter? Are you something that I need to replace? Are you something that I need to utilize? What are you, Keter? Recognize the process. Can you fit the Keter into your expanse? Is everything available to you from the Keter? What does it mean to invite the Keter? Enjoy the Keter. Understand that the Keter is inside of you and outside of you simultaneously. Keter is spelled Kaf, Kaf, Resh. The Kaf has the meaning of your palm. Ask the Keter, why is the hand, why is the palm being referenced in the Keter? What does it have to do with manifestation? When the Keter is always potential. The Resh of the Keter refers to the head. What does the Keter have to do with the head? How do we get along with the Keter? With all these disparate elements. Keter, it has the palm, it has the resh, and it represents the top. When your meditation is complete, when you feel that you have complete understanding of the Keter, know that you cannot understand the Keter. Know that your understanding is incomplete. Now is the time to climb the steps back to the physical world. Each step, one by one, you climb. Step by step, you reach the level where the Keter has left your meditation, where you are connected to the Keter. Shalom. Have a good afternoon. Your homework is to continue this meditation each and every day, to ask questions of the Keter, to learn more about the Keter, to truly know what it means to be the Keter. Does anyone have any questions?
Well, I guess I do.
Go ahead.
I was surprised that we counted down. Always counted up the steps to reach Keter and then come back down to the physical world. Now, I realize I probably have that in my unconscious because of the glyph, but I found it hard to concentrate when you say down, down. So do I have to think, I have to change my thinking? Or is that a personal way for me to reach the catcher?
Why do you think I went down?
I don't know.
Have you ever heard that this is a world? But no, let me relate it to you in a story. There was a sage who was taking a nap, and he was very relatively ill. He wasn't dying yet, but he knew his time was coming. And he was aged, and he went to sleep, and he dreamed, and when he woke up, his students who had been sitting waiting for him to be teaching them asked him what he dreamed about, and he described an upside-down world, and they asked him, what is the meaning of upside-down? Why did I go down, Anna?
Well, I'm sure because of the upside down world, but I polish my own crown on top of my head. So you have to tell me. I can't take hints too good. Just like it's hard for me to tell someone if they're joking or not. So then I should be polishing my feet for my crown.
Look, the metaphor that I described with the throwing the rock and having it fall into the water.
Right.
What's the largest circle is the catcher. The catcher is right underneath your feet. When you throw the rock, all of those circles, you're preparing the potential for those circles to be revealed. They don't get revealed until the rock falls into the malchus. So are the circles growing outward, climbing up, or are they going inside of you and going down? And I cannot give you the answer spoon-fed, but I am giving you hints. I know you don't want hints, you want the answer. But you can have a meditation where you climb up and you can ask the Keter, should I meditate by climbing up or should I meditate by climbing down? Remember, the catcher is going to answer your questions.
No, and I get an answer. I get an answer from Psalm 119. And I don't particularly care to say it on the recording.
Understand.
And I've seen letters, and I mean, it's been maybe 5 years since I had looked at, you know, the classes, and I did not look at this class ahead, so I didn't know that's what it was going to be about. And so that's why I'm behind asking questions. But I'm going to have to go back over the circles many times. I've stood at the water banks, you know, when we were little, because living in Louisiana, we would go.
And you live near Louisiana.
You know, and you know, I have a fear of water. And so oftentimes I'd stand on the bank and throw the rocks and watch the ripples. So I've got to go back to that part of the handout and think about it. But I think what I have seen going up the ladder has been positive things. But
going down doesn't mean it's going negative. Going down just means it's going inside of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your heart? Where's your brain? Are they inside or outside of you? Climbing up, move away from your body. Going down, you go inside your body. You ask the question, do you have to change your point of view to change the way you think? The answer is no, you don't have to change the way you think.
Well, I don't know. I kind of thought about that idea of how we talked about the clothes the other day on Deepa Zohar. And I got the more I thought about it, I got another answer, and that was because all of these years I had folded my clothes that way, always hunting for the lost socks, when if I had looked for the socks first, I wouldn't have had to go back through clothes I'd already folded to see if I had accidentally packed them up. And I thought, well, I got another message from that little example, and that was, you know, I've been doing things the same way, so maybe it was time to think about doing things differently. I always have this two roads, you know, so I have to ponder it and I have to meditate on it, and I do appreciate how you've answered me, and it really, I'm glad I asked the question that I didn't say.
I'm glad you did too, and now I'm going to confuse the answer. Sometimes you sometimes in your meditation you climb down and sometimes you climb up.
Well, the information, I'm going to call it information, it was at Passover and it was about the Mashiach. I saw letters, you know, that had to do with Mashiach ben Joseph and ben David. And
yeah.
I have been back to that meditation again. You know, because I hate to say a busy life, because you know everybody's busy these days.
The purpose of this purpose of this meditation is not to go into what you did on Pesach. The purpose of this meditation is to expand your understanding of what is Keter, and to understand the relationship between Keter and Chachma, and Chachma to Bina, and Bina to Chachma, and Bina to Keter. The relationship of the three Sefer Rot, the three up Gimel Rishonot. The purpose of this meditation is not what you did over Pesach. The energy of Pesach is different.
Okay.
The energy of Elul leads you where?
See, like you, the name Hana relates to Venus. So, I mean, but I thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I do understand the upside down world.
Very good.
So, thank you.
Are there any other questions? Anybody else want to ask a question? Have a beautiful afternoon, Bodish Tov. And we will have a deep Zohar class at 4:30 West Coast time. And we will have a Rosh Chodesh event at 7 o'clock West Coast time.
And Kodesh Tov.
Kodesh
Tov.
Kodesh Tov.
Shalom Gadol.